Neil is a professional musician in his 40s. As with many in this program, we can't reveal his identity for legal reasons. Neil is a paedophile, a man who enjoys sex with children. His list of child conquests is so long he can't even put a number to them.
I would say probably hundreds. Maybe over the years, during the whole of my adult life, maybe thousands. Who knows? What I found, of course, though, was that as I gradually grew older, I became locked into this interest in younger people. And that, yes, I did then go on to develop relationships which enabled me to touch genitals and to stroke. And even in more recent years, I regret to say, to take part in anal intercourse with teenage boys, yes.
George is 67. He was married for many years, but he's also been having sex with children for nearly five decades.
And how many children over that period of time do you think that you'd...
Must be hundreds.
Only hundreds?
Just hundreds. I wouldn't count them. But lots of children. In cinemas and all different places. Of some sort of sexual contact.
How young?
Well, there was a group of, say, 11, 12, 13 I used to sort of aim for.
Is that the youngest child that you've ever
No, there's been younger ones for smaller sort of incidences.
How young?
About eight, I think, seven or eight, something like that.
So, in the period of 50 years, there have been hundreds of children, and you, until recently, were never discovered.
That's true.
John was also married with two daughters, but he too used children for sexual gratification. And over a period of 2 years, he systematically recorded his catalogue of abuse.
So I had schoolgirls coming to my house. The age group ranged from 13, 14, 15. There were a couple of youngsters at 12 years of age. Because I sort of edged them on to do different things. This happened with one girl. Then she introduced another friend of hers. And so it escalated out. I eventually ended up with approximately 200 girls over a two-year period. And whilst this was going on, I was filming at the same time.
All three of these men are unashamedly explicit about the nature of their sexual acts with children.
After the first girl, you then went on to have sex with other girls, didn't you?
Yes, that's correct. I had full sex with approximately 100 girls. The others, you could say that there was oral sex taking place, masturbation, and general sort of sex acts.
You would perhaps maneuver your way into a position where you could actually touch the boy on his genitals between his legs and touch his backside and even touch other parts of his body, bare flesh.
The cunning of the paedophile in pursuit of his prey is remarkable.
He is a man with immense patience. He will use whatever means are necessary in order to gain the child's trust before the abuse starts. And invariably, you will find that the family have also come to trust him. So they will see nothing strange in their child spending long periods of time with that person.
So how do the paedophiles get at children? George devised a chillingly simple way of getting close to a child and its family. He married into one. He advertised for a wife in newspaper personal columns. He specified an interest in single mothers with blue-eyed, fair-haired boys. There's little doubt about what he really wanted.
Was part of the motivation for wanting a son also your attraction to young boys anyway?
I don't really know, because the baby was only a baby, see, and wasn't attracted to babies at that time. But it could have been in the back of my mind, as I found it later years.
Eight women replied. George chose one woman to marry. Her son was blonde-haired and blue-eyed. In due course, he was abused by his new stepfather. Madge also gave George the chance to bring a further 300 children into his home.
So you would foster children?
Yeah.
And?
Some who were put with us were put with us because they were put in care. And from their stories, I'm afraid it excited me also.
Give me an example. When you say it's excited you, what excited
you? When children told me what men had done to them, that would excite me. And although I didn't go the whole lot with them, I shouldn't have listened to their stories or touched them in any way. But sometimes I did.
As psychologist Michelle Elliott has found, many paedophiles have devised more direct routes to children. For example, working life offers many opportunities.
It's another one where a babysitter, a vicar, a priest, got involved in that one.
Recent trial records show how men have deliberately sought jobs that bring them into contact with children. Donald Budge, imprisoned for 9 months for indecently assaulting three schoolgirls, a junior school teacher. Roger Stimpson, 4.5 years in prison for molesting 10 children, a cub leader. Joseph Verbeek, convicted for indecency, a director of the United Nations Children's Fund. And Tony Graham was imprisoned for 5 years after having sex with an underage girl. He was a social worker in Kent.
No one knows how many men are actually involved in sexual activities with children. But we can say that the networks of the paedophiles are much larger and more far-reaching than has ever come to light in the courts. In this closely knit and secret world, many men, far from being ashamed of what they do, have developed an elaborate theory which they feel justifies their activities. And they're only too ready to argue their case to anyone who will listen.
Two long-time paedophiles agreed to tell us their views anonymously. These actors are repeating their words.
Will you describe yourself as a paedophile? And if you do, what do you mean by that?
Yes, of course. Quite clearly, there are two definitions, mine and the rest of the world's. I'm a person who recognizes the sexuality of children and recognizes that that attracts me to them.
But isn't your primary motive for having a relationship with a child sex?
Well, the underlying drive is sexual. No one would deny that. Now, this isn't to say that I want to have sex with every child that I see. Far from it. Now, the relationship I would like to have with him or her, myself, I tend to be more of a boy lover rather than a girl lover, would be an open, free relationship where the child or the young person would be looking on me as a friend, or someone in whom they could trust, a mentor, if you like, someone that they can open their heart to, and in return, I'm someone that can give that child love and affection. And if the child wants it, the sexual contact, which in many cases the child eventually does desire.
How do you tell, though, if a child is reciprocating or not?
If the child enjoys it. How can you tell if a baby likes what you're doing when you're throwing it up in the air and if it screams blue murder? It doesn't. If, on the other hand, it chuckles with delight, it is. It's as simple as that. I would like to live in a society where the child has free choice, where if you went up to a child, I'm putting this very baldly, but if you went up to a child in the street and said, hello, how about going to bed with me? The child could say, and could ponder the question and could make some definitive judgments and could say, no, thank you, or I don't mind if I do.
And what age would that child be? Is there an age that you could put on that child that they could make a judgment?
If, in fact, the child was aware of their own sexuality, was allowed to be aware and to enjoy their own sexuality, then the child could make that value judgment at any age. I mean, obviously, they've got to be able to speak. You're going up to them and that sort of thing.
If the child couldn't speak, how would they say yes or no in your society?
Again, as I've said, a baby will very easily tell you whether it's enjoying being thrown up in the air and caught again or whatever. It will tell you by
laughing, gurgling, crying, screaming,